how many of you were here last night? Most of you. I had this dream where I was trying to lift up the bride off the ground. It was in a hospital setting. And then I got sideswiped to kind of just give up. The energy that I was expelling was becoming too much for me. And what I want to say, piggybacking on what Debbie said, is when your passion fire is low, like it was in me, it's because I, number one, had lost my passion for him. And the reason that passion, this was in a dream, the reason that passion was subsiding was because I had judged the bride. And in judgment, we lose our passion. So we can judge the bride, or we can judge God for not moving when we think he should be. And as intercessors, you spend lots of seasons in that place with God, and you become intimate with him. But we cannot judge our God. And so, Father, I just stand as a symbol of what you were saying to me in this hour that we're in, that I repent for any way I have judged the way you are working with your bride or working as God. Father God, you said to Job, where were you when the waters were created? Where were you when I put it's called the Leviathan, but we could say the whales in the oceans. Where were you? So Father, I didn't know I had any judgment in me. I really didn't. If you hadn't shown it to me in a dream, I wouldn't have known it. And the way I knew that it was a judgment was my passion. I kept trying to lift the bride up off the ground, and my passion was gone. And then I became vulnerable to the enemy. So, Father, I bind that spirit of deception in Jesus Christ's precious name and by your blood. Father God, we lift our mind to you. We lift our body to you because you created us. God, oh God, oh God, in your great mercy, come to us again. Come to us again, Lord. Renew us, God. Renew that passion, God. Forgive us for areas of judgment, Lord. And in Jesus' name and by your power and authority, we break any assignment of deception, and we loose the spirit of truth into this hour that we're living in. And thank you. We thank you, God, for the fire. We thank you for the fire, because as Eleanor said last night, here's the fire. We're looking at it, right? We tend to. But when you walk through the fire, what's on the other side of that fire is the glory of God. And God, that is why we want to walk through the fire. We don't want to walk through the fire in a religious way, where we say, oh, look at me, I'm walking through the fire. Glory, glory. We want to walk through the fire, realizing that he has set us, our face, to stand in this hour in intercession and for the glory of God.
Hallelujah. Can I use that black bench back there? This is going to be more of a teaching situation. Yes, the black. Yes. Thank you, sweetheart. Good worship. Oh, my goodness. It fills the atmosphere with his presence. Really wonderful. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, come close. We're going to do a little study this morning. Yay. Last night, when Eleanor had that fab teaching, which was great, she mentioned several times that the Word and the Spirit will awaken the bride. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's something very mysterious about sound. Sound has the ability to change things. Sound has the ability to create. Sound has the ability to remove that which is detrimental to us. And did you notice that when Deb Ruby got up here and shared her word, she said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. You have to speak the word. You have to declare it. You can't just think it. God will hear you if you think it, but creation needs to hear you. The vibration coming from you will change things in your circumstance. And it's really crucial that you become used to speaking the word of the Lord, even if no one is around to hear. Speak into the atmosphere. Declare. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I step out on my back, my front porch, and make declaration over my neighborhood. We are not going to have the thieves invade our neighborhood. I'm declaring. I'm using the word of the Lord. And when my son-in-law's blazer was stolen from our front yard, I went out there and I made declaration and commanded that pumpkin orange blazer to come back. And within 6 hours, it was back. Even though it was on the other side of town from my house. Isn't that crazy? Make declaration. I want to encourage you to do that which the prophet has said. I pay attention when a prophet is speaking. I listen to the prophetic word. I write down the instructions that were given in the prophetic word, and I simply obey the instructions. I've done that for years. One time at Abbott Loop, in the auditorium that's no longer here, a word came from one of the young, I think just one of our young Bible school students, said that if you will ask the Lord in faith, believing him, that within 1 year you'll have your request. And then he went on and kind of, I don't want to say dribbled, but kept going. And it obscured the main message. But man, because I was listening, I heard that, and I raced to the altar. And I just said, the Lord, I'm here on the basis of that prophetic word. You said, if I ask. So I asked for three things. And then I went down and I wrote it in my Bible in my shorthand and totally forgot about it. Didn't even pray over it anymore. Made some declaration that night and that was it. 1 year later, to the day, you know how God loves timing. He really does. I opened my Bible to that place and there are these three shorthand things written. So I transcribed them and I was shocked and realized that God had given me all three of those things that I'd asked him for. Declare. Listen to the word that comes from the prophet. Sometimes people will say, well, they're just speaking out of their own heart. But I want to tell you something. Faith activates things. Not their faith, your faith. The recipient's faith. That's why whenever I come to the mic, you know, I've prepared myself. I have the word in me. I know what God has told me, the direction he wants to go in. But you are the one who activates the message. You are the one that lays hold of the promise. And it can come through the worship that prepares the atmosphere. And let me tell you, the worship prepared the atmosphere. And when the worship, that last song, my spirit could hear the cadence of that last song. And you remember last night, Eleanor spoke about the cadence? Do you remember that? See if I can find it. Until, yes. She saw heaven open, Jesus with the sword pointing up, and then it came down, and she heard this cadence. And the angels were descending, the angel army, and began to do battle with the principalities. The principalities are those strongholds, demonic strongholds, in the atmosphere over a region. There's principalities over America. There's principalities over Alaska. Principalities over Anchorage. And principalities over your neighborhood. That's why I'm out there every night just binding and casting and declaring and prophesying and blessing my neighbors. They don't know how to do that. You know, maybe there's someone there doing it, but at least I know I'm doing it. You are planted in your neighborhood for a reason. And you have authority in that neighborhood. You carry the authority of Christ in you. Powerful authority. So when Debbie and Terry and the team began to play that Spirit of the Living God, I could hear the cadence. And instantly I remembered the prophet's word. And I thought, this is that. This is that. I can hear it. I can feel it. So they are facilitating the angel armies that have been loosed to do warfare and against principalities, because the word has been released. Here comes the worship that's reinforcing the word, and here I come reinforcing the word, so something in you wakes up to the word. That's part of the awakening. You know, we awaken in degrees. We don't just suddenly wake up. I was telling Nancy this morning that I discovered something interesting about me. When I was raising my children, and I've always said I'm a night owl. You know, I come alive right around 11 p.m. And I mean, I'm ready to boogie. I want to crank my music up. I want to do all my housework. I am so busy because I just come alive at night. Unfortunately, I have to get up at 5 in the morning, get my children ready for school. And so I would, the minute the alarm went off, I'd train myself. I'd get up out of bed, hit the floor running, heading for the bathroom, take care of my, whatever I have to do with my face, my teeth, etc., and then go prepare the lunches, prepare the breakfast, get the clothes, make sure everybody's up and running, and get them into the car so I could drive them to school. And partway to school, my brain would wake up. Now, my body was functioning fine. It was moving and doing all kinds of things, but I became suddenly alert because something on the inside of me became really sharp and alert. And I look around and find out where I'm at. How did I get here? It's a scary feeling. But it made me realize that we are awake on different levels. So God is awakening his church right now. He's awakening his bride. He has been sending his word out numerous times to awaken you. The word of the prophet came last night. And then Timothy Sergey, Pastor Sergey, his powerhouse prayer, that was another awakening word coming. And then this morning came another awakening word. And Nancy reminded us of when she was trying to awaken the bride, that limp ragdoll bride. God is awakening the bride. Without the breath of God, the awakening breath of God, there is no substance to the structure. That's what Eleanor was preaching last night. The bone comes to bone, sinew to sinew, flesh, everything. Beautifully formed figure, just like Adam when he was created. He was a beautifully formed figure, but he had no breath, no life. And in Ezekiel 37, that army of the Lord that he's talking about, beautifully formed, came together, but there's no substance, there's no life. But they look good. The bones are connected, bone to bone. God has been doing that for years now, bone to bone. There is more unity now than I have ever seen in the state of Alaska, in the church in the state. When Billy Graham came 25 years ago, I believe it was, he was traveling all over the U.S., he said Alaska was the most fractured church that he'd ever run into. We were so divided back then. Everyone was in a different camp, doing their own thing. It's not like that now. Now there's a unity, a coming together, bone to bone, and a true fellowship. And now the angels, the cadence of the angels, I can hear it. I heard it in that song so strong. Deb, you and the team, hey. I mean, we lack words. It did something to the atmosphere. And I heard someone say last night, they heard a sound they hadn't heard before. So something's clicking in. Come on, you guys. Something's clicking in. You're tapping into it. Don't hold back. You press in. You press in. I can feel it even while I'm saying it to you. You're going to open up the heavens and the glory will fall and it'll fall with power. And then you, Deb, will cut loose and you, Teresa, will cut loose and you will cut loose also. Is your name Bill? Bill, I also see the anointing of God coming on you as well. God has put gifts in you, Bill, tremendous gifts in you. And this is a day when God's going to start unlocking it again and again. That which you thought ended, you thought it had ended. It hasn't ended. It's just the beginning of the new release of the anointing in you. We're coming into a season of glory. The angels are already working with us. The angels are doing something in the heavenly realms that we cannot do and we don't need to do. We just need to agree that God is doing it. Release it from your mouth. What God has said, He is doing it. He is doing what He said He would do. Believe the King. Believe the King. Believe the King. What does the scripture say? Believe His prophets. So shall you be established, right? Believe the Lord your God, you'll prosper. Believe, that's your assignment. You believe. And when you believe, you declare. When you believe, you declare. I want to tell you, some of you know I've had a lot of trouble with my knees. Just after the Judy Jacobs gathering, we got hit. Please remember to pray for us after a gathering, not just before. Debbie got hit. Nancy got hit. I got hit. Did you get hit too, Al? Just in different ways. So here I am with my knees killing me, and I have to go down to Missouri to preach. I can hardly walk, but I'm determined. By His stripes, I am healed. Commanding my knees. Doing what I know to do. I get to Missouri, Lebanon, Missouri. Lebanon, is that a good name? I get to Lebanon, Missouri, and they see me limping, and they dive on my knees. And shundala. So they're doing the shundala thing and praying with fire over my knees. Then he said, stand up now, stand up. And I've got a hinge brace on, but I stood up. How's it feel? How's it feel? Well, it still felt the same. They're shundalawing again with greater power. They jump on it again. I think they prayed for me 8 or 9 times. They would not give up. Now, I felt a little shy about that because, you know, you ask prayer once and you want to have faith to believe. Maybe twice if you don't have a lot of faith. 3 times only if you're really faithless. You know, that was my mindset. But they are going for broke. And then they bring this troop of little kids up, about 5 of them, anywhere from age 4 to 6 or 7. And boy, they dove on that knee with their beautiful little hands and began to shundala. And one little tiny girl, small hands, knee, be healed. She's getting real strong. Be healed. And then she looks at me with that expectant faith. Yeah. How could my knee not be healed? Well, it wasn't. But the next day, it was 90% better. I could walk without the brace. Remember, healing is progressive. Miracles are instantaneous. So I was learning something. That persistent group would not let go of that thing and kept praying and kept praying, and they didn't slacken. They kept praying. They kept commanding. They kept, come on, you guys. We can do it. We can do it. I'm not wearing my brace. I'm walking. Listen, I believe God is teaching us to be persistent in prayer and to declare and to make known the things of the Lord. Listen, generational blessings in our family lines. There are generational blessings in our territories. That's part of the word from the prophet last night. I flat out believe that. I believe if you have a drop of Viking blood in you, you are a warrior to be feared. Yeah? I believe that. I think some of you are called to be pastors. There's a pastoral bent. You've probably come from a line of farmers where you till the ground and you take care of the animals, and that's manifesting in you with a shepherding anointing. Gentle, kind, tender, binding up the wounds. Whoa, I tell you what, don't let go of your anointing. Find out what it is God has called you to do. All of you have a destiny. All of you, every single one of you. The reason you're here, because God called your name and instantly you were born, are created, conceived. In your mother's womb, instantly, you are not an accident. I don't care what the circumstances of your birth are. God spoke to your mother's womb, and he called you by name, and instantly the right combination of sperm and egg came together to form you with all the destiny of your family line, the good destiny. Yeah, the bad's there too, I know that, but that's part of our overcoming. But that good destiny is there. Those good mantles. You have ancestors who paid a heavy price for that mantle. Carry it with real wisdom. Carry yourself with real strength. Listen, I watched some four young color guard, young men and women, carrying in the Alaska flag and the U.S. flag this morning, and their backs were ramrod straight and their eyes straight ahead, and they're carrying it with such dignity. I thought, that's the way you carry your mantle. Carry it with dignity. Come on. And everyone began to stand up as our national flag was presented. I have no qualms pledging allegiance to the American flag, because I was born here. I am an American. It's part of my inheritance. It is a fabulous inheritance. When you look at the destiny of the U.S., why God birthed our nation. He was the one that birthed this nation. He was the one that called the indigenous people out of darkness into the kingdom of light. Yes, there were a lot of terrible things that went on, as it has happened in every single nation on earth. That goes back to the garden when Seth rose up at Seth and sorry. Yes, I'm thinking of Cain. When Seth, Cain, you know, the children of Cain and Abel, there we go, thank you. I knew that was another one I was missing there. Sorry. It takes a while, but it does retrieve. But do you know murder came in at that point, was introduced to the family line? Murder. And that murder has been following the lines, human lines, ever since then. Ever since then. Some of our family lines have been more given to that side, the dark side. But God, we don't even comprehend the massive miracle that took place when you asked Jesus to come in. You were totally separated from that dark line. the dark force. You are planted in the kingdom where the power of God is limitless. And that power of God is given to you freely. No holds barred. It's given to you freely. And we tap into just a little bit of it. And we think, yay, I think we need to tap into it more. I want you to press into the things of God. I want you to be so hungry for God that you will cry out, fasting and praying for him to change you. Change you. On your face, crying out. I cry out to be changed. I want to be changed. I can't change myself. You know, you reach a certain level of maturity in the kingdom and you kind of want to sit back and let someone else carry the load. Let someone else do the stuff. God is opening up wonderful doors for every single one of you. And I'm talking about healings. I'm talking about miracles. I'm talking about your understanding coming into a higher level of the prophetic release. I'm talking about a new way of seeing that you won't see with your old eyes, but you'll see that which is only seen by the Spirit. That which God has called you to being fully released in you. God has a destiny for us. I want us to look at some scriptures. Get out your Bible. I don't know if any of you carry a Bible anymore. I hope you do. I like the feeling of the page. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. This is Jeremiah's call and commissioning. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." You see, when God called you by name, and suddenly you were conceived in your mother's womb, your entire destiny was conceived at that moment. Everything that God wanted you to do, to fulfill, he knew what you would pray, and the answer was released at that moment. Everything that you need is in you. It's in you. It's not out there somewhere. Someone else can't activate it for you. Only God can activate that which he has put in you. And he is more than willing. And this is the hour for that. The word says that he has inscribed you on his hand. And did you know that's where the hiding place of his power is? He's hidden you in the place of power. That to me is a fabulous scripture. Job 36:32, he covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike the mark. Of course, that word strike the mark is the word pagah, and it literally means intercession or to twirl in childbirth. It's a creation word. And you were written on his hand in that place where there's power, where there's creation, where there's anointing, so that anything you need and you release from your mouth, the power of God shoots out and strikes the mark to bring to pass that which you are decreeing because it's part of your destiny. Now, I'm not likely to go down and decree that I want a mansion on a hill with a Lamborghini in the driveway. Not that I don't like Lamborghinis. They're gorgeous. But it's not, I have no desire whatsoever because that's not part of my destiny. That's not what God is speaking to me. I don't want to waste time with trivial things like that. It's all going to burn. I already have a Lamborghini in heaven. I'm sure I do. Somewhere. Why do I want one here? Listen, God wants your eyes to open to eternal things, to look beyond the natural. Not that the natural isn't important. Remember what the prophet said, if we're going to have victory on a strategic level, it starts here. It starts by exploring with God the desires of our hearts, as filtering and sorting and saying, well, this I think is the Lord, this one's not the Lord. And a lot of times we don't know our own heart, right? Sometimes I don't know what I want. I remember when God, I'm never sure how to describe this. God showed up in my entryway one day, uninvited. He tends to do that. He's got this problem. He thinks he's God. He thinks he can go anywhere and show up anywhere. I'm so glad God loves me. I tell him all the time, if you don't have a sense of humor, I'm in big trouble. Showed up in my entryway. And I saw his hand come down like this. And out of his hands, jewels rolled toward me. And I thought, I could feel him waiting. He was waiting for me to pray. Well, I got flustered. I thought, okay. Then I remember that scripture. He gives you the desires of your heart. So I started thinking, what are the desires of my heart? Okay, I need new linoleum. No, that's not good. I've already got new linoleum. Okay, my car's getting old. No, it's only a couple of years old. I was thinking of all these natural things because I got so flustered, I couldn't be spiritual. But being yourself is being spiritual. If I'd kicked into spiritual, oh God, I get real pious. Oh, thou most high. That would really be bad. He does not like that. It's called manipulation. So then I said, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what to ask for. You know, sometimes that's the best thing you can tell God. I don't know what my destiny is. I don't know what to ask for. It's your deal, Father. Make it happen. Come on. And instantly he showed me what to pray for. He did. He showed me what to pray. I wouldn't have thought to pray that. It scared the liver out of me. But I prayed it boldly. God is going to show you how to pray about your destiny because you have one. And one of the reasons that you hold back in praying for your destiny is you don't know how to pray. You don't know what your destiny is. Some of you don't even realize you have a destiny. You know, come on. In God, there is so much more. When he saved you, he did a miracle. He opened, when you came to Jesus and he took you out of that dark kingdom into the kingdom of light, instantly in front of you opened up your destiny with all of the blessings associated with it, and he's waiting for you to uncover it and begin to pray it, begin to declare it, begin to give him praise over it, because he's a good God and he wants to give you good things and he wants to bless you. Part of claiming your destiny is recognizing that he is a good God who will give you your destiny. He's already determined it. Listen, Jeremiah was appointed a prophet to the nations, and he hadn't even been born yet. And of course, Jeremiah says, Lord, I don't even know how to speak. I'm a child. Verse 7, the Lord says, do not say I'm a child. Because everywhere I send you, you will go. All that I command you, you will speak. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Do you remember the prophet said that God's word was in our mouth? Deb said that this morning. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. But you have to speak it. That's what he's saying. I have put my words in your mouth, verse 10 in Jeremiah 1. See. All right, he's opening his eyes to see his destiny. I have appointed you this day over the nations. There are people that God has given authority over this state, over this nation, and over nations, and over the kingdoms, to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, and to build, and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? I said, I see the rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. God is watching over his word to perform it. This is why you'll notice how frequently when a prophetic word comes, I will write it down. And I will reiterate it so you can hear it a second time. And I'll bring it up a third time if necessary, because I want you to hear what God is saying so your faith will rise and you'll begin to declare what God is saying, because he's watching over that word to perform it. There's a scripture that says the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to me. Fully committed, or poised toward me, or turned toward me. He's looking for those that hear the word and their hearts lift toward him. And you begin to declare what God has said. When I heard the cadence in that wonderful song this morning, I heard the Lord in that cadence. And immediately my heart lifted up and I remembered what Eleanor had said the night before about the angel armies. I was hearing the angel armies. The team, our worship team, was hearing the angel armies. And they were declaring that so you would hear it. When you come to a meeting like this, we are determined in this gathering that the Spirit of God would be revealed to you, that you would be led by the Holy Ghost, that he would give you instruction, that he would heal you, that he would cause you to rejoice, that he would cause the worship to rise, that you and the Holy Ghost would become one, so that the Spirit and the bride will begin to declare together as one. Then you have some power, because you and the Spirit are in agreement. Listen, Ephesians 1:4. I really want this to be written in your spirit. Ephesians 1:4. Who? Blessed be the God, that's verse 3, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's why the battle is going on up here. That's why he sends his army angels, his angelic army rather, army angels, well, I guess they're army angels, his angelic army to do battle up here, because that's where the spiritual blessings for you are. And he wants you to begin to agree and lift up your heart and receive that blessing, because he's already got it stored up for you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that you would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined you to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. You have been adopted, fully grafted in. You are literally a son or a daughter of the ruler of the universe. You are a son and daughter of the one who created all that we see. All that the scientists are discovering, our Father made. And he put it in certain positions, and now he's unlocking the ability of scientists to discover what he has already made for us. We are his children. We are fully his children. We are so much his children that he loves us as he loves Jesus Christ. Now, that'll blow your mind. He loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Do you know, when God gave me that scripture, I realized I knew he loved Jesus. I mean, Jesus with his son. Jesus was good. Jesus laid his life down for us. But then there's me. I didn't lay my life down for anybody. And I have my own shortcomings, also known as sin, but we won't go there. So I judge myself as less than because of this fleshly body that's so weak, that has failings. And yet when he gave me that scripture, he said, I love you as I love Jesus. That just blew my mind. That's what the cross was all about. It's not that, and I've heard people say this, that he looks through the cross and he sees us, he sees Jesus in us. No. He sees us. He created us. He's passionate about us. He wants us in our shortcomings, in our ignorance, and we do stupid things. I tell people all the time that in your timeline with God, he built in a stupid factor for you. He knew you were going to do stupid things. I mean, come on, get real. He knows. And he made provision. And so when I blow it or I'm struggling with something, I say, oh, Father, there I am being human again. And I feel his pleasure. He didn't expect me to be perfect. I expected me to be perfect. Man, was I disappointed. I've been chosen. You have been chosen. God chose me to preach the gospel. Trust me, I did not choose that for myself. I tried to talk him out of it. Boy, I pleaded with him. I began to list all the reasons why I wouldn't be a good candidate. And he listened to me. And then he went on with his strategy anyway. Because the destiny for me had been set before I was conceived. And the moment he called my name, Mary, Abby, Brandis, Skolka, Glazier, Healing Jot, I was suddenly conceived with everything in there that those names represent. Thunder Woman, he chose. I did not choose. God chose for you. You did not choose. Now you can sit down and cross your arms and refuse. That free will is a scary deal. Because we can choose to disobey God. You know, that falls under the stupid factor. He always brings it back around. So we're facing that choice again. You may as well surrender now. I told the Lord one time that I felt like I was arm wrestling for control. And I felt him say, well, you better lose then. Come on. Come on, oh soul of mine. Obey God. Obey God. I'll bet you a majority of people in this room would rather they had done a better job for the Lord. I'll bet you think that you failed God miserably. And here you are at this stage of life and you haven't even accomplished hardly anything of value. I don't think that's true. Because I think our primary responsibility or assignment here is to mature, to grow up. Look at this beautiful little son in his daddy's arms. Now, his daddy doesn't expect him to suddenly run for president right now, although someday he could. He expects him to eat, sleep, play, laugh, and grow. It's easy. He wants you to grow up. Come on, grow up. That's your assignment, grow up. Then you come to a stage when you're crying out, God, I want more. Oh, I want more. And then he reveals the next step to you, and you come up higher. You know, the word of the Lord from the prophet last night was that you are not to fear, be afraid of the fiery trial. Every single human being on earth has a fiery trial. Some people in other places have horrific, literal fiery trials, suffering that I can't even imagine how they can endure the suffering. I can't imagine. While I was at the governor's prayer breakfast this morning, I went up to a dear brother who had lost a child recently, and the minute he saw me, his eyes filled with tears, and I put my arm around him and put my hand on his chest and just said, I know, I know, I know. And tears began to roll down his face. There is suffering. And that's part of the fiery trials. It comes to everyone in one form or another. It comes to everyone. But in every trial, God makes a way out. He makes a way to help you. That doesn't mean the pain goes away. It means that pain changes you. And then you come through it, and you are different. You're the something of the naivete of youth is gone. And something of the short-sighted praying for the Lamborghinis is gone. Your prayer life shifts. And you begin to look with more eternal eyes. And you begin to see differently because of that trial. The fiery trial is a gift to us. A gift to us. And God gives us what we need to overcome in that fiery trial. Listen, don't lay down. Get back up. You know, the book of Revelation speaks about the seven different churches of Revelation. Every single one of them, to them it was said, to he who overcomes, I will. And then God gives a promise. Now, some people only have one thing to overcome in their life. Most people have more than one. Some people have some things to overcome that are so great, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. But they do. That's their fiery trial. And those are the holy ones of the earth that shake nations, that shake the whole planet, that begin to affect creation because of the overcoming anointing. They've overcome not just once, but twice, three times, and still overcoming. Proverbs 19:21 says, man has many plans, but God's counsel will stand. Whew. Remember God. Let's go to Isaiah 46:8. This is one of those messages prompted by the Spirit of God for you for this season. There's a reason why this is coming to you right now. Isaiah 46, starting with verse 8. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God, there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not yet been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. This was during the prophet Isaiah's time. He's talking about our Father. He's telling you to remember. Remember. Recall it to mind. God is greater than any trial. God has a plan for this planet. The battle was engaged in the Garden of Eden. And in the end, the Spirit and the Bride will be moving with the Creator of the universe at the fulfillment of His plan. And God's already determined the victory. He's already determined it. And your part in it is crucial for you, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your Arias. Yes. He's going to have victory for you. Marcel, he's got an anointing on your life, honey. An amazing anointing. He's planted you here for a reason. And he is with you. He's going to be with you when finances get skinny. He's going to make provision for you. I want to give you a scripture. I've been young, and now I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. The devil will tell you that God has forsaken you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God will never forsake you. You are engraved on his hand. And that's where the power is. So you just keep lifting your hands up in worship. You keep playing those drums, that percussion. And let your spirit begin to vibrate with the cadence of heaven. Because God has created you to feel that. And to feel the vibration, the move of the angelic armies. When they come into a room. When angels move in and your spirit starts to respond. And you'll start playing on the drums because you'll hear the angels come in. You'll feel it in your spirit. God's called you to be a percussionist for the Lord. But that means that he wants to play the drums of your heart and cause you to pick up on his movement. Ooh, I like that. Father, I want to be a percussionist for you. Ephesians 1:11, according to his purpose, listen to this. Ephesians 1, verse 11. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. You have a purpose. Here's what purpose means. It's the original intent for the creation of a thing. The reason for the existence of a thing. Why a thing or a person exists. That's why I know when he called you by name and you were conceived, your purpose was conceived at that same point. And that purpose has been unfolding in all of the circumstances you've been through since then. Embrace your cross. Embrace your purpose. Let it continue to unfold because it's impacting far more than you comprehend. Do you remember what Eleanor said about the until moment? A time when something will happen? You have a purpose. Until that manifests, begin to press in to God and ask him to unfold your purpose in you. He's the only one who can do it. Whatever it takes, let that purpose unfold in me. That which you created me for, that which I am to do, press into that and do that. Don't suddenly race off. I see young when... You know, when you're a child, you think like a child, you speak like a child, and you reason like a child. And when I was working in the Bible school, and our beloved first-year students would get a hold of the fact that there's power in the Word, oh my goodness, all of a sudden they are all over the place. Yes, they would go up to the prettiest girl in class saying that God told them that she was supposed to be their wife. And then they'd say, and God is calling us to Africa. You know, I don't know why it was always Africa, but they're being called to Africa. You know, that's, when you're a child, you reason like a child, you think like a child, you speak like a child. But when you become an adult, when you mature, you put aside childish things. Then you begin to seek God for his counsel. Because his counsel will stand. Many are the plans in the heart of man, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. So he's saying, you have lots of plans, but what is my counsel? Now listen, I have run ahead of the Lord in the council business more than once, and it came around and bit me in the butt. That a scriptural thing to say. But I have learned not to run with my own counsel. I wait and listen, and I seek advice from people I respect, and I hear their counsel, and I wait some more until I know what God is saying. God wants you to fulfill your purpose in Him, and it is a good purpose. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. You are called. All things, therefore, will work for your good. Trust God and be at peace. And I'll see you tonight. God bless you. Oh, by the way, I gave you the wrong date for April's meeting. April's meeting is going to be April 8th and 9th. And we are having Pastor Tim Sergei speaking. So make sure you get that written in your calendar, April 8th and 9th. Eleanor.
Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we come into agreement with your word tonight, O God. God, we just declare, Father God, that we agree with your heaven's best for us, O God. We come into agreement with your purposes and your plans for us, Father God, because we know that they are good and that they are sure. And Lord God, we just thank you and we praise you, O God. Lord God, that you have your best for us, O God, and we just call that forth into being and into existence, and we say yes and amen, Father God, to the message that was given, to the words that were spoken, oh God, and we call forth, oh God, the words from heaven, and we bring them down, oh God, and we apply them, oh God, and we walk in them, oh God, and we declare and decree, Father God, that we will fulfill our destiny here on earth as it is written in heaven today, not only in our lives personally, but in our lives corporately, and even for Alaska, Father God, that we will fulfill our full destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen if you believe it. Amen. Amen. So we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock with Pastor Kim Patterson. Remember, May 26th through 29th, Chuck and Dutch are coming. And please be praying about an offering. This is not going to be... This is going to be a very expensive thing, but we believe God. And let's prepare, ask the Lord for offerings to sow into this as well, okay? Love you guys, and God bless you. Bye-bye.